Hi, this is Bonnie Gillespie, and you're tuned in to The Work.
It's Cappy Carey. Yay!
Hi.
Yeah, Cappy, I'm so excited to have you on The Work. Thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome.
So let's just dive right in. Let's start us off, please, with how you and I first intersected or how self-management for actors came on your radar.
Well, we first intersected many years ago in a networking event called Industry RSVP.
Oh, yes.
You came to speak, and we all the members there got to stand up and introduce themselves and speak for, I think, I don't know, it was 30 seconds or something. It was really short, but we each got to speak and tell a little bit about ourselves. And I had a film, Reflections of a Life, that was out on the festival circuit. So every time I got up, I had just returned from some film festival. And so I mentioned that I had just returned from some film festival. And you were the first casting director who thought that was really awesome. Because up until that point in time, if I said anything like that to a casting director when I would go in on a casting, they were like, well, why did you aren't you getting cast? You felt like you had to produce something for yourself. You had to cast yourself in something. So it was this really talking down to me about that I had to cast myself in something. And why did I feel like I had to do that? Well, you have to understand, this was 10 years ago now. So people weren't really doing self-producing much 10 years ago. And it wasn't a thing that was, you know, that it is today. And so it wasn't looked upon in the same way. And yet here you were going, wow, that's really awesome. And I thought, okay, I guess it is really awesome. So it was a breath of fresh air for me.
That is so fascinating to me to think about how much, obviously, it has changed in a decade plus as far as how casting receives the news of you being a hyphenate. And of course, back then, that was not as exciting. But for you to have actually had that experience with so many people before me going, oh, big deal, or worse, saying, why? And I think I want to go back even before then, because if I recall correctly, Reflections of a Life wasn't even your first foray into creating your own content.
No.
So you go way back before it was cool.
Yeah.
In creating your own content. Can you speak a little bit about what inspired you to first start creating things?
Well, I wasn't necessarily inspired. I was sort of dragged kicking and screaming into doing it. It wasn't something that I went, I really want to do this. I was working with a manager who was really more of a filmmaker. And he would surround himself with actors, and he would help them manage their careers, create marketing materials for them. And once he got enough actors around him, he'd make a movie using the actors that he had. And then he'd sort of let them go. But I didn't go. So, and then he kind of realized, you know, this is not a thing that's working really well for me, because then I have to keep creating, getting more actors around me. And maybe I should keep them and create more of a repertory company and continue creating more content for the actors. And then he saw in me, I guess, someone who could be one of the content creators as well. So the first thing he said was, you need to start producing. And I was like, oh, no. And he said, no, you have to do it. It's going to be really good for you as an actor, because you will be able to create your own content. And look at the stars, that they all have their own production companies to develop their own material. Isn't that what you want to be? Isn't that where you want to be someday? So I kind of took a look at that and I said, yes, that is where I want to be someday. And okay, if you'll teach me, I will do it. So he taught me. I did it. I started with a talk show and then I went on to develop a couple of shows for him. And then we started producing shows for the repertory company of actors that we had. He said, now you need to learn how to write and direct for these actors. And it was like, no more, really? And I was like, yes. And so I started writing and directing for the actors as well. And I actually fell in love with the writing and directing.
How about that?
Yeah, I did. It was so creative. I love the acting, don't get me wrong, but you're really only creating one part. And the writing and directing, you're creating the whole world and all the parts. And it's more creative than just your part. And I found it challenging, more challenging for me, and more fulfilling for me. And of course, I could always create a part for myself.
Of course.
Yes. And a really good part for myself. So I took to it, I guess, like a fish to water, and I haven't looked back.
That is so cool, Kathy. And I love that it was someone saying, no, you have to do this, that got you to try something that would turn out to be not just a passion of yours, but something at which you are incredibly successful. You've had so much experience taking films out on the festival circuit and getting awards and just like that experience. You've done Sundance, you've been to all the festival pockets and what was the, is it Worth that has the record holder?
It is the record holder. Yes.
Yeah. How many, yeah. What's the count at this point?
31 festivals and 31 awards.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so cool. And this is a short film that you wrote, directed and starred in, right?
And produced.
So all the hats.
Yeah.
Amazing. And it's such a touching film. It's something that, of course, I remember coming in at a time when it was really healthy on the festival circuit. Like it was just constantly somewhere. And we were working toward getting it shortlisted on the Academy list of nominees for Best Short Film. Do you want to talk a little bit about the process of taking a film up as high as you possibly can a little bit?
Sure. I didn't make Worth with the idea that I would get it shortlisted on the Academy listings. I think if I were to do it today, I would have that in mind and write towards that and produce towards that. It just sort of happened. We kept winning awards. We won an award at our first festival and then the next one and then the next one. And then suddenly we're just like keep winning these awards. And I know I was in SMFA, we called it class roles at the time.
Yeah,
And I would keep coming back to class and, well, we won another award this week. And it wasn't weekly, but it was enough.
It was often enough. Yeah, I remember.
It was like you were like, holy moly, okay, I have to see this film. And it was almost embarrassing, you know, to keep coming back each week or almost every week with a new award. And when I got into Stony Brook, and I didn't realize Stony Brook was a prestigious festival, but apparently it is. Somebody, a complete stranger, said, you should try for the Academy Award. When you win at Stony Brook, which I won, they were like, that's an accomplishment. So I was like, okay, well, it was a much more complex process back then than it is now, because to win, you had to either win at an Academy qualifying festival, and you had to screen on either the DCP, which they didn't have. The festivals didn't screen on DCP back then. Now more of them do. Or on film. So you had to screen in the format screen at the festival, the Academy qualifying festival in the format that you would have to qualify to screen at for the Academy. So I had to transfer my film to film.
And I was going to say, this becomes an expensive proposition if it's not something you've worked toward going in.
Right. And I hadn't shot it on film because this was back in 2008 when I shot the film. So I hadn't shot it on film. Festivals weren't screening on DCP. It was a possibility at the Academy to qualify on DCP, but the Academy qualifying festivals 2A1 were not screening on DCP.
Wow.
So you had to screen on film at the ones that you were going to hopefully win the top prize at. And
which you can't know you're going to win before you take it
before
you've gone
right.
to the expense and who knows.
So I had to take it to those film festivals on film, or you could have a qualifying screening in LA where you would buy out the theater and screen it for at least 3 nights in a row to an audience. And once you've done that, then you take your film print to the Academy with all the paperwork and everything that you have to fill out. It's free to take it in, but it wasn't free because I had to transfer my film to film because we didn't shoot it on film. And then you wait and hope. And as you recall, I hired a publicist and we had a screening here in town and we invited a lot of people and we hoped to get some publicity and get the word out that we were hoping to, you know, get shortlisted. We did not get shortlisted, but there were only 65 films that qualified that year out of the thousands upon thousands of short films that were at festivals that year. So I felt pretty good about the fact that we were one of 65 that were at the Academy that were being looked at to be shortlisted.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And now that you've been through that process, like you said, that can get woven into your game plan for each new thing you produce if you feel that it might also have a shot.
Yeah. If I were going to, like I said, if that were something that I aspired to, I would now sit down and say, okay, I would look at the films that won Academy Awards. I would say, what is their taste? Write something that appeals to that taste, produce it at that level, and go in hoping that I would be able to reduplicate the kind of film that they like and that would then go in and get shortlisted this time.
And that's truly targeting at its core. It's taking a look at what people are responding to and then working backward from that to get to the thing that you do and find where those things intersect.
Right.
Because it's not about then telling a story that doesn't excite you. It's finding ways to tell stories that excite you that also align with the goal of the award, if that's the goal.
If that's the goal.
Right. Right. Woo. Now, you've had so many experiences both behind the camera, on screen, in front of the camera. What sort of things are you now taking forward and sharing with others? Because I know you were always a key component in our self-management factors classes, especially in the weeks that we talked about creating your own content, and you're just an incredible resource. I understand there's a book.
We can talk about the book. Yeah, there's a book. I've written a book. It's called, my title is Cast Yourself.
I love
An Actor's Guide to Self-Producing. And it is this close to being published.
Woo!
I just have to figure out how to put the page numbers on in Word the way I want them to go, which is being frustrating for me right now because Word doesn't work the way I want it to work. So I'll figure it out. I will. I'm being very zen about it at the moment because otherwise I want to throw my computer in the pool.
Yeah, don't do that.
and design a cover. Or get someone to design the cover for me. And once I get the cover design and the page numbers, which I figure will happen in the next month to six weeks, hopefully, it goes up to Amazon and it's done. And people will know that it's there if they follow me on Twitter, because I will tweet out the cover and I will tweet out that it's coming and they'll be able to see that it's indeed coming.
And so, tell everybody where we can follow you on Twitter, please.
It's at Kathy Carey, K-A-T-H-I-C-A-R-E-Y, spelled just like my name.
Perfect. Good. Twitter.com/Kathy Carey, spelled K-A-T-H-I-C-A-R-E-Y.
Yes.
Perfect. I want to make sure that that's clear, because yes, that's a fantastic way to get to stay on top of the timing for that book. And I cannot wait to read it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting.
Yes, now, well, you wrote my foreword. So.
I did write your foreword, and it made me so happy that you asked me to do so, because you've been so influential in so many lives just through the Self-Management for Actors Network. And I know that that's not the only place you connect with people, because you're very much out there and doing a lot of networking experiences and mentorship experiences that are really exciting. And I just know that so many people, especially now, are so open to producing their own content that the wisdom that you're able to share is going to be invaluable.
I hope so.
So talk about what benefits it's had for you and your on-camera career to become so prolific as a producer.
Well, I put myself on camera, of course, in everything I do. And it gives you something to talk about. When you go in on auditions, almost invariably you're asked, so what are you up to? What have you been doing? Tell me about yourself. There are these stock questions that you get asked, and it's less exciting to say, well, I went on this audition, or I did this scene in my class, or, you know, or I've been working at it, you know, trying, I've been going on auditions, I'm hoping, all of that. Nothing's wrong with any of that, but it's much more exciting to say, I've got a film that I'm in production on, or I just finished a film and we're going into post and I played this character, and to be able to talk with excitement about the character that you played. Whether you mention that you produced it or not, it doesn't really matter. You can say you did, you can say you didn't. It doesn't, you know, if they ask, of course, I'll tell them that I did. Or a web series or whatever it is that you're in the process of putting together. Or I'm in pre-production, I'm in development, I'm putting together this web series. Whatever it is that you're working on, you're excited about it. They see that excitement. That excitement translates to them being excited about you.
Gosh, that's so true. It's really true. That energy transfer is very palpable. It's, exciting to have that. Yes. Oh, I love it. What are you working on right now? Other than the book, which I know is this close to making it out in the world. What else are you working on?
I have another feature. I have a feature, let's put it that way, that I'm attached to direct. It's called Signs of Being. It's a dramatic, young female coming of age film, sort of a female version of Stand By Me. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited about it. We're funded. We are in the process of putting our name cast members in place. Mm-hmm. And the producer is very excited. We're in contact almost daily now. And because of that project, that producer just recommended me to another producer. And I just met with him yesterday. And I can't really talk about this second project, but it looks like I'm going to be attached to another feature that is going to go sometime this fall, possibly, or early next year. That's a romantic comedy. So I'm excited about that too. So it helps to have people who like working with you. And that's what this business is all about, is relationships and building those relationships with people and having that develop into future work. And you never know when it's going to happen, and you never know where it's going to come from. So you just want to be the kind of person that people want to work with, because then they will recommend you.
Amen. Like,
you know, it just happens.
And these are projects that you didn't write, and you're not producing unless you're coming on as associate producer as part of your director deal. You're just straight up hired to direct.
Straight up hired to direct.
So cool.
Yeah.
Now, has there been a challenge in terms of your brand as an actor when it comes to having these other hats that you wear? Because I know a lot of people wonder, do I need separate websites? Do I keep quiet the fact that I also produce? Has that ever been a challenge for you, or has it actually enhanced all of it for you?
I think it's enhanced all of it, but at a certain point, I decided, because I had it all in one website, and it's KathyCarey.com, and I had my actors there, my producing, my directing, even my singing, because I'm a singer too, and I had it all there, and then I took the singing, and I took that tab away. It's still there. I can still link people to it if they're interested. Because I do session work, and but I know all the people that do the work, and I know all the contractors, and so they all know me, and they can just hire me when they're, you know, interested in doing so. So it's still there, but I decided at a certain point that to take producers to that website to hire me as a filmmaker, as a director, was a little confusing and a little too much. So I put together a directing filmmaking website called KathyTheFilmmaker.com. And that's strictly, it has nothing to do with me as an actor. It's just me as a filmmaker, as a director and writer and producer. And that's where my directing, writing, and producing resume is. And that's where all of my stills from being on set are, and my trailers and movies are, and you can see all that there if you're interested in hiring me as a director or as a writer director.
And so does KathyCarey.com still have a little bit of all of it, or is that now strictly the actor site?
It has a little bit of all of it.
Because it hasn't hurt your actor brand to be behind the scenes, but it may be confusing for people who just want to hire you as a filmmaker.
Yes.
To see the on-camera stuff.
Yes.
That's interesting, because so many people, especially, you know, actors who are starting out, worry that it's going to be the opposite, that it's the behind the scenes that's going to erode how seriously they're taken as an actor. And that, I believe, kind of harkens back to what you said at the very top of the interview, which is back in 2006, maybe, you know, the casting directors had a different reaction to an actor who was creating her own content than they do today.
I think,
do you really think that's gone?
I think it's gone.
Yeah.
I don't get that anymore at all as an actor. I used to get the pushback. I don't anymore. Now I get a lot of, yay. I think that's great. I think that's awesome. Good for you. Which is what I got from you.
But oh yeah.
I don't get it at all as an actor anymore. I think most people think it's a really, really good thing for actors to branch out, because then I think it improves your acting to understand other elements of the business, to understand behind the camera parts of the business, because it makes you a better actor. You now know what they need from you as an actor. And you're going to give it to them. You're going to be more professional on set, because you're not going to waste their time, because you know what wasting their time feels like as a producer.
You're not going to self-cut before the moment is over, before the beat is fully realized, because you know the longer you give them, you're giving them more material with which to edit at the end of the day. And I mean, just anything, those little elements from a performance standpoint, all the way to the technical.
Exactly. And you're not going to bug them if they say they want to cast you in something and you say, great, that's awesome. Then you're not going to start emailing them every day. Well, what are we doing? What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? Because you're going to know that they're in pre-production. Things are moving along. They have lots and lots of stuff to deal with. Not just you and your concerns. They'll get to you. You will hear from them when the time is right, when you need to hear from them. They don't need to hear from you every day wondering what's going on.
It's so true. Actors worry that if they're not hearing something quickly enough, that they've been forgotten or they've been replaced or something catastrophic has happened, instead of trusting. There are 3,000 fires that the producer is hoping to put out before they become a raging inferno. And a fire that they don't need to deal with at all is the, do we have the actor for the role? Because that's down the line, and we already know we have it. So that's taken care of. Don't become a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you produce, you understand that. You understand all the things that they're dealing with because you've dealt with them.
Yeah, you'll know the call sheet's going to come when the call sheet comes, not a moment before, because it's not ready yet. So asking for it the day before, 2 days before, isn't going to make it come faster because it's not ready.
Yeah.
10 days. Who gets a call sheet 10 days before?
Really? I have been asked.
Oh, no.
Yes.
10 hours before is perfect. Like, that's,
yeah.
Like, that's fine.
I'm telling you, you cannot believe. You cannot believe. And it's like, just chill. Yeah. You're going to get it. Trust me. You're going to get it.
So what advice would you give to someone starting out and sure that they want to wear all the different hats and have the kind of experiences that you've been able to carve out for yourself? What, if you were talking to Kathy at the beginning of the game, What advice would you have, knowing how much has changed? And of course, with technology such as it is and all the resources that exist now, obviously different from what you experienced at the beginning of your game. What resources are out there that everybody needs, other than your awesome book that's coming out soon, of course?
Other than my awesome book. It's so much easier today than when I started. Oh my heck, it's so much easier because you can shoot on an iPhone now. I mean, I had to buy a camera and it cost me $1,000, you know, $3,000, $3,500. And then I just, you know, and every camera I've had to buy, which I've bought several, each one of them cost me $3,500. It's like, oh man. And you can shoot on this, mm-hmm. you know, this has a HD camera in it. Get good sound. Always get good sound. But you know what? It's not even about that. It's about just go out and start. Mm-hmm. Just start. Because you're going to learn by doing faster than you're going to learn by thinking about it and wondering about it and trying to come up with, I mean, yes, come up with an idea, get a couple actors around, come up with a great idea. Don't shoot your baby first, though.
Oh, talk about that a little bit, because I think people get so inspired by that story they were born to tell.
Yes.
They want to rush to that one first.
Yeah. Everybody has that story, you know, that one that is like near and dear to their heart. And they just have, they just really, really want to tell that story. And I want you to tell that story. I really do. I just don't want you to tell it first. Because the first thing that you produce, it's going to be like a pancake. Now, I don't cook. My husband is the cook. So this is a really funny analogy for me to tell, but
you and I have this in common. we'll use cooking analogies, but we have no idea.
I have no idea. Here it is. You make those pancakes, you put the batter together, you put it in the pan, you flip it over, you pick out the first one, and it doesn't look like a pancake. It's not round, it's not perfect, it's not light brown and fluffy. Okay, it's kind of misshapen and weird looking, and maybe it's burnt a little bit on the edges. I don't know, but it's not perfect, and you're probably going to throw it away. You might eat it, okay, but you're not, because it's probably tastes fine, but you're not going to serve it to company.
Got it.
For sure. All right. The same thing is true of the first thing you produce. All right. You're going to watch it and you're going to see all the flaws. You're going to remember everything you went through. The late days and the actor who didn't show up and the thing that fell over in the background and the, you know, the line, somebody forgot their lines and, you know, the props that made it to one day but didn't make it to the next day and the guy who wore the wrong shirt and whatever, you are going to notice everything that didn't happen correctly.
Yeah.
And your audience isn't going to notice 99% of that stuff. They're not. They're going to, oh, that's wonderful. It's great. They're going to love it. You won't love it.
Mm.
And if you produce that baby, that thing that's so close to your heart first, you're going to regret it. Because you're going to watch and you're going to go, oh, I could have done so much better. And then you're going to wish you waited. So produce something once, then produce the second thing, and then maybe on the third or the fourth one, make that baby. Because by then, you've learned how to put all your ducks in a row, do all your prep, get it all ready to go. And let's face it, there are going to be things that happen in every production that you can't know, you can't predict, you can't plan for. You'll plan for all the stuff that happens that goes wrong in the first one for the second one, and that yeah. after that will go wrong, and then something new.
It's well, so that's true. Oh my God.
You'll plan for that in the next one, and then something else will happen. But you're going to get better at handling the things that crop up along the way. You just are, because that's your job as a producer, is to handle things as they happen on set and on the day of production. The little things that come along that you weren't planning on that you have to deal with, you're going to get better at dealing with them. And nobody's going to see them and nobody's going to notice them. And even you are going to go, hey, I did that pretty good.
Yeah.
And by the time you hit your third or your fourth one, you're going to hit your stride as a producer. And that's when you want to produce your baby, because then you know what you're doing. You've had enough experience to be able to do it and do it well.
It's brilliant advice, Kathy. I love it. I love it. I think about that in my authoring career and how my first book was Casting Cues, which was just a collection of the interviews I'd been doing for backstage at the time. And I'm so glad that that was my first book, because it allowed me to learn all the mistakes and make all the mistakes, and then have my first real baby be the second book, which of course is Self-Management for Actors. And I'm so glad that I can look upon that with all the love and affection that I can't look at Casting Cues with, because of all the mistakes and all the pain that we went through on that first one. So it's true, not just for filmmaking, but I think anything we create sure. can feel like that. It's fantastic advice. So one last time, Kathy, how can everybody stay plugged in with you? Social media, where are you most active? Repeat your website one more time. And of course, the title of the book, Cast Yourself. So excited.
Okay. I'm on Twitter regularly at Kathy Carey. I do have a Facebook fan page. I go there occasionally. I'm not really active on Facebook, but it's also Kathy Carey. So you can just search for me. If you know how to spell my name correctly, you'll find me. My two websites, if you're interested in me as an actor, it's KathyCarey.com. If you're interested in me as a filmmaker, it's Kathy with an I, KathyTheFilmmaker.com. And the book is Cast Yourself.
I'm so excited. Yeah. Subtitle of the book, because it's Cast Yourself.
An Actor's Guide to Self-Producing.
I love it. I can't wait, Kathy. And I'm honored to get to have been a part of the whole journey and to obviously get to see that and hold your baby book when it comes out. I can't yes. wait. Kathy Carey, you're fabulous. Thank you for sharing this time with us.
Thank you for having me.
Really do appreciate you.
All right, my friends, this has been Bonnie Gillespie for another episode of The Work. Thank you so much for joining me here. Please join me over at BonnieGillespie.com for all sorts of goodness between episodes. And until next time, stay ninja.